Welcome back to the very last episode in this series on creation, where we first took a stroll through Creation Week, then we took a dive through the flood, and now we're going to talk about the central theme of Christianity, and that is to reach for redemption through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, we've spoken about a lot of things, and if you'd like to quickly recap and refresh your memory on something that you may have forgotten, then you can simply read about it in this book that I wrote especially for you. At the end of each presentation, you'll see the details on how you can contact us to get hold of your own copy, whether you're in South Africa, the USA, Australia, Canada, any of those surrounding areas. The book was also available in Afrikaans. Now, let's take a quick look back at our exciting journey. As we strolled through Creation Week in the first section, you may have noticed a few things. God described his creation 6 times as good. But at the end of the 6th day, the day when God created mankind, he declared that indeed it was very good. In other words, God created everything flawless, perfect, and beautiful. We learned how God created mankind with the ability to choose because, as I mentioned a few times already, true love will always give you the freedom to choose. In other words, you can choose for yourself whether you want to love, serve, and obey God. However, with this ability to choose comes a huge responsibility because choices always have consequences. From this perfect state of affairs, we strolled into the 2nd section, where we learned about the disastrous fall of mankind. God wanted to protect Adam and Eve from harm by teaching them to be obedient to him. He did not want them to become acquainted with evil and sorrow. Yet the choice was theirs to make. When Adam and Eve chose to be disobedient to God, they also chose the tragic consequences that would affect them as well as their descendants, including you and me. Those consequences include things like pests, disease, famine, war, hatred, pain, sadness, evil, and ultimately, death. Look at what the first part of Romans 6 verse 23 says. For the wages of sin is death. Yet Adam and Eve were never supposed to die. We were never supposed to die. Nothing was supposed to die. But because of sin, death came into the world. And like a cancer, it spread and infected all of mankind, all animals and all plants. All of creation was thrown into disarray, and the consequences of sin continue to negatively affect all of creation to this very day. We further learned how people in Noah's time took absolutely no notice of the 120-year warning that God was about to bring a great destruction on the earth, whereby every human being, as well as every land-dwelling and flying creature on it, would be destroyed. That period was actually a period of grace, because they had 120 years to repent and trust in God. Even with all the terrible sins committed by people at that time, God still wanted to give each and every person a chance to make the right decision. But despite this, Noah's continual warning while building the ark, people ignored this very serious warning, and instead they mocked and laughed at Noah every opportunity they got. And it is no different today. In this last period of grace of Earth's history, there is once again a very serious warning given in advance to everyone on Earth. God is warning us that Jesus will soon return to Earth for a 2nd time. This time, he is not only coming as the Savior of his children, but he's also coming as the judge of the universe to pass judgment on all the unbelievers and false Christians. When he eventually pronounces that judgment, the earth will not be destroyed by a flood, but by fire. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. As it was in the days of Noah, there are people today who simply don't believe that this warning is true at all. But that does not change the fact that it will happen. Who will save us? In the same way that the ark stood ready to save far more people than only eight, Jesus stands ready and willing to forgive our sins and save us from eternal death. Remember, God has the right to make the rules because He is our Creator and He owns everything in existence. He decides what is right and what is wrong, and when we do something wrong, something against His will, it is called sin. Sin is anything we think, do, or say in violation of God's commandments, which are clearly laid out in Exodus 20. God wrote these commandments in stone with His own finger. And when something is written in stone, it means it is forever. God did not give us the Ten Commandments to spoil our fun or to make life difficult for us. He gave it to us because, as with Adam and Eve, He loves us. We are His children. And He wants to protect us from the negative and harmful consequences of disobedience. So the Ten Commandments are like a mirror that shows us where we have been stained by sin. And as you know already, water cannot wash away the stains on our characters caused by our sins, and neither can simply staring into the mirror accomplish this. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, can cleanse us of our sins. Deep inside our hearts and minds, we all know very well what is right and what is wrong, because we were created in the image of God and because the Holy Spirit constantly reminds us of this. Adam and Eve deeply regretted what they had done. They felt guilty and embarrassed about their disobedience, which is why they tried to avoid God and hide from Him. When we do something wrong, it always leaves us with feelings of regret and sadness and embarrassment, no matter how hard we try to hide this. We also try to avoid the people that we have hurt. Yet the longer we try to avoid them, the further we are driven apart. In the same way, we try to avoid God when we sin. And by stubbornly continuing with this behavior, we allow sin to form a huge canyon between us and God. Sin always damages our relationship with God and our fellow men. Trying to hide our sin will simply not work either. Just like Adam and Eve, we sometimes also try to hide behind fig leaves. We do it by either lying or about our sin, or by trying to justify it, or by saying, "Oh well, it's not that serious. Everybody does it." But sin is sin. In God's eyes, all sins are equally serious, because all sins eventually lead to eternal death. And God wants to give us eternal life, not eternal death. And trying to blame someone else for our sin certainly won't work either. Do you remember how Adam first blamed God and then Eve, while Eve blamed the serpent for their sin? Neither of them at that time confessed to their sin, nor did they ask for God's forgiveness. And God cannot forgive us unless we personally confess that we have sinned and personally ask for His forgiveness. No one can do that on our behalf. Not our parents, nor our pastor, not even a priest can obtain God's forgiveness on our behalf. Since God is 100% love, but also 100% righteous and holy, He must punish the sinner because He cannot be anything other than a righteous God. When Adam and Eve succumbed to temptation, they sinned against God. The Bible teaches that the punishment for sin is death. The day when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, their happy, carefree, and innocent existence immediately changed. It regressed into one of sadness, worry, and much unhappiness, because now they were no longer innocent. They were sinners, and they experienced the harsh consequences of sin. God felt very sorry for them. Even though he was deeply disappointed and saddened by their disobedience, he still loved them as much as ever. It was as though a deep, dark sadness came over the beautiful Garden of Eden without a ray of hope for the future of fallen mankind. But there was a ray of hope after all. Because even before the creation, the heavenly family already had the solution to this sad state of affairs. As explained to you earlier, God is omniscient, meaning that he knows everything. He created man with a free will, and he knew that they might choose to be disobedient. And he also knew that if this were to happen, there had to be a plan to save mankind from sin and its deadly consequences. The plan was that one of the persons of the Godhead would pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus the Son himself voluntarily offered to lay down his life because he loves the Father and us infinitely. No one forced him to do so, and the Son did not make any decision on his own, but always according to the Father's will. Let's read John 10, verse 17 to 18 together again, just so we're really sure that we understand this very important point. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The plan of salvation was therefore determined by the Godhead in unity. When God made clothes of skin for Adam and Eve after they sinned, he had probably already taught them that a sacrifice had to be brought on their behalf so that their sins could be forgiven. The lamb to be sacrificed was innocent, just like Jesus is innocent and sinless. Therefore, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus has already paid the penalty for our sins. He became the perfect sacrifice by dying on the cross. But more importantly, he rose from the grave to be the savior of every person who chooses to accept his free gift of salvation. Now, does this mean that we can just go on living and doing the wrong things that we've done before? Of course not. By accepting this free gift, we choose to live our lives according to the example Jesus gave us. We cannot do that in our own strength, but only through the strength of Jesus, our Savior. Jesus promised that every person who made this choice would live with him in the heavenly paradise forever. Our Creator will recreate us physically by clothing us with immortality at his second coming. Never again will there be sin or death. Nobody will ever be afraid, sad, or alone ever again. Isn't that something to really look forward to? At last, we can read the good news found in the second part of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. While we await his return, Jesus will work in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. He will teach us about obedience and how to become more like him. Only he, who created us in the first place, can recreate us spiritually. When we decide to commit our hearts and our lives to him, we are spiritually reborn. We are a new creation. Which is why the title of this book and this series is From Creation to Recreation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The sin of Adam and Eve was like a contagious disease that infected the whole world. We are all infected by sin. We are all sinners. There is only one kind of medicine that can heal us from this disease, and that is to personally invite Jesus Christ into our hearts. Jesus humbled himself and became human. He was tempted in every possible way. Yet he chose to be obedient to God, to show us that we can be obedient to God through his strength. The ark had only one door. Noah and his family entered through this one door to be saved from the flood. In the same way, there is only one door through which we can enter to be saved. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What can we do to be saved? First of all, we must confess our sin. This means that we should admit to God that we have sinned. Secondly, we must be sorry and repent. Repent means to turn away from sin. Turn to God. We need to express sincere regret or remorse about our wrongdoing or sin. Tell God in your own words how sorry you are and stop doing it. Turn away from it. We must ask Jesus to cleanse us from our sin and to be our personal Savior. And we must honestly try not to sin again. If we apologize while already planning in our hearts to sin again, then we are not sincerely sorry and God cannot forgive us. Never forget that God always looks at what is in our hearts, in our minds. We cannot hide anything from Him, not even our thoughts. Therefore, when we confess and repent, we need to truly mean what we say. As hard as we try, though, we all seem to stumble and sin again now and then. When this happens, don't let a second go by without confessing it to God and asking for His forgiveness. Don't wait until tonight before you go to bed. Confess and repent your sins immediately. And don't become discouraged. We simply cannot conquer sin in our own strength. We need Jesus daily, hourly, and every second of the day so that we, through His strength, can make the right choices. Get to know God. How can we do this? We need to study His Word, the Bible. We need to pray and talk to Him as often as possible. He is interested in every little detail of our lives, and He wants us to share our thoughts and worries and hopes and dreams with Him. You can even write letters to Him if you like in a journal. That is something I really like to do. We need to follow the instructions that He gave to us in His Word, the Bible, so that He can protect us against the enemy of mankind, Satan. He cannot do that if we choose to remove ourselves from His protective umbrella. Remember, holding on to sin is like putting a giant canyon between us and God. God's Word says that there is no sin. No sin so big that He is unable or unwilling to forgive. We cannot save ourselves, and if we continue to walk on the path of sin, we will eventually fall over the edge of that canyon. By paying the penalty for our sins at the cross, Jesus actually built a path of salvation over this canyon so that we can unite with Him. Remember, Jesus is not going to break down the door to your heart, but He's patiently standing at the door, knocking and waiting for you to invite Him in. Only you can open that door. He will never force you to do it. I pray that you will make the right decision and not let another second pass before accepting Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You will never regret it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Dearest child of God, thank you so very much for joining me in a stroll through Creation Week, in diving through the flood, and above all, in reaching for redemption. I pray that you will grow to love Jesus more and more every single day. and that your love for him will beat so warmly in your little heart that you will want to share that love with everyone around you. There are so many challenges today, and unfortunately, there are many half-truths, lies, and deceptions as well. One doesn't always know what or who to believe anymore, but this you can know for sure. God is truth, and His holy word is the only 100% reliable source of all truth. No matter how busy your day is, make an effort to read your Bible prayerfully every day. It is certainly not always easy to set the right example for other people, but you never have to do this in your own strength. Before you rush ahead to meet each day, stop for a moment, close your eyes, and ask Jesus to be with you every single moment, in the car, in the classroom, with your friends, and even when you are writing exams. He's interested in everything that you do and looks on with great interest on how you write and draw and play. He looks at you with so much love. And when your friends are nasty to you, or your teacher is a little too strict, or when you simply feel alone, just remember, even though you can't see him, your Creator, Redeemer, and King, Jesus Christ, is always right there with you. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your souls, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray together. And if you should choose to pray this prayer with me, it will undoubtedly be the most important choice you will ever make in your entire life. Dear Jesus, thank you that I can close my eyes right here and now and talk to you personally. With a humble and sincere heart, I ask you to please forgive me for everything that I have done wrong today, yesterday, and all the previous days as well. And Jesus, when I sin again, please remind me to ask for your forgiveness immediately. Thank you for paying the penalty for my sin at the cross. Please be my personal Savior. Help me and teach me through your Holy Spirit what it means to be obedient and to live my life according to the example that you have given us. Thank you that I can now know that I will receive everlasting life through you, and that no one can ever tear me from your loving hands. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.